Hey, how's it going? Okay, good. My name's Jason. Yeah, that was weak. How y'all doing this morning? Man, that bike right. Y'all are just rowdy. My name's Jason Kimbrough. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm excited to speak to you this morning. I've been doing college ministry for about 8 years, and still doing college ministry. We got a college ministry called Elevation, but I'm also overseeing all the student ministries, and so we have a great team of student pastors that are trying to take care and pastor some of your kids, some of your rowdy kids, and we're trying to invest in them. And I'm just so thankful we're a church that invests in the next generation. I want to go ahead and welcome all those watching online. Why don't you give them a hand too? Yeah. And while we're at it, why don't we just go ahead and just give our lead pastors, Rick and Michelle Bizet, a hand. We love them. We're thankful for them. Hey, we wouldn't all be here without them answering the call to God to move to Arkansas and plant this church. And I just am reminded all the time of how thankful I am for them. So I want to go ahead and just introduce you to my family. I always tell stories about my family. I figured I would go ahead and just show you a picture of them, introduce them to you. That's my family. On the left there, that is my boo, my shawty, Ashley. She is awesome. And then right there in the middle, that's my son, McAllister. He'll turn 3 in about a month. And we also have another boy on the way. He'll be here in September. His name is Pierce Asher. And so we are going to add some adventure to the Kimbrough home, as if there's not already some. McAllister, he's a blast. But he's a boy. Look how innocent he looks. You know what I'm saying? Look, he just looks so sweet and so innocent. And he can be. But he also he's a boy, okay? A few months ago, he loved sports, which I'm thankful for, right, man? Okay, I'm thankful for that. He went and got a bunch of toilet paper rolls from the bathroom. We had this big chandelier in our living room, and he just started, 3-point shot, yeah. And he started making them, okay? But then it produced smoke. And my wife was like, I smell something. She got up there, and she started throwing them out, and she still smelled something. And then she reached up, and there was one on fire. Burned a hole in the carpet. One time, it was just me and McAllister. We were driving down like a busy highway. It was one of those busy highways that has a stoplight right in the middle of it. It's like, where did that come from, you know? A stoplight, really? Okay, and we're just sitting there. I'm on the phone, and my son says, Daddy, innocent, so innocent. Will you roll down my window? So I'm like, yeah, sure, buddy. I'm talking on the phone, and I swear I see something go out the window. And I look back there, and I go, McAllister, did you throw something out the window? And he's like, do-do-do-do, what do you know? And then the car next to me, is like yelling at me, your shoe, he threw the shoe. And so I like get out of the car, the light turns green, shoo, shoo, and I'm like picking up the little shoe, throw it back in there, oh, I'll get you. The next Sunday in the foyer at the Conway campus, a lady comes up to me, did you get your shoe? Of course she goes to New Life. A couple months ago, I was on my way to Memphis, and as soon as I pull on the interstate in Conway, on I-40, to get on the interstate, to go to Memphis, my wife calls me in tears. Jason. I'm like, what's wrong? You know, and she says, Mac just ruined our flat screen. And I'm like the TV flat screen? I'll turn this car right around. And I said, well, what happened? She says, well, he was playing with his baseball bat. And I'm like, do what? And she says, I walked out of the room when I heard a loud crash. I walked back in and our flat screen was done. It's done. It won't turn on. There's a big hole in it, whatever. And I said, McAllister, what did you do? And as innocent as he could, he said, I hit Dora. Now, if you don't know who Dora is, Dora the Explorer, then you're not missing much. If you do know who Dora the Explorer is, then you know this is bittersweet. Because, yeah, it stinks that I don't have a flat screen anymore. But, man, he hit Dora. And we've all wanted to do that at one point in our lives. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, we're going to be in Luke 14. We've been going through the book of Luke. And Memorial Day weekend is a weekend where we honor those who have gone before us and sacrificed their lives for our country. We honor them. And it just so happens that we're in Luke 14, and Jesus addresses the topic and the subject of honor. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to be in verses, mainly in verses 7 through 11, but I kind of want to set up verses 1 through 6, give you the backstory of the story that we're really going to talk about so that we understand where we're at in the story. At the first part of Luke chapter 14, Jesus is invited to dinner by a prominent Pharisee. A Pharisee was a religious leader of the day, did not like Jesus. Really staunch, by the book, black and white. That's how they were. And so they didn't really want to eat dinner with Jesus. They just wanted to catch Jesus doing something wrong so they could point in his face and arrest him or whatever. And so Jesus goes to dinner, and when he gets there, there's a man before him that has a medical condition called dropsy, which is a swelling condition. And so basically the Pharisees were setting him up because it was the Sabbath, and you're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. And so, but Jesus healed the man anyway. And before the Pharisees could say anything, Jesus says, listen, if your son fell into a well on the Sabbath, or if your ox fell into the well on the Sabbath, would you not pull them out? And in Jesus-style fashion, he shut them up like he always does. All right, so that's kind of where we're at. Jesus is going to dinner at the house of a prominent Pharisee, a religious leader, and he has just healed a man on the Sabbath, and they're about to eat dinner. All right, and then in verse 7, it says, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. Now, before we get into the parable, I just want to explain a little bit of cultural context. It says, when he saw how the guests were picked the places of honor, that's very significant if you knew anything about Jewish Greco-Roman culture. Back then, the way they dined and the way they threw dinner parties and stuff like that, it meant a lot. It meant a lot to them. They threw parties and dinner parties and stuff like that, and sometimes their main agenda was to impress other people. And so that actual phrase, the place of honor in this text, it comes from the Greek word protoklesia. Protoklesia. And because the New Testament was written in Greek, it means the reclining place, the first reclining place, or the chief place at the table. Jesus actually used this phrase in another passage of Scripture in Matthew 23, where he's addressing the Pharisees once again, and he says, everything they do is done for people to see. They love the place of honor. There's our word. There's our phrase. At banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. All right, so the dining room back then was called the Roman triclinium. And the Roman triclinium, it was different than the way we eat dinner. If you can see on the picture here, it was three couches pulled up, almost made a square. That the space that was left open was for the servants to bring the food. They would place it on that little table right there, and everybody reclined on the couches, propped themselves up their left elbow, ate the dinner with their right hand because their left hand was considered unclean. So basically, you spooned each other while you ate your olives and flatbread. It was rather awkward. I don't think any of you men are like, let's do that, honey. Let's get a Roman truck. You know, we're probably not going to implement this into our culture, but this gives, Da Vinci was wrong, right? I mean, if you look at the Last Supper painting, you'll see that they were sitting up just like us. And also, someone told me that Judas was actually in the place of honor right here. We'll talk about that in a minute. But this gives a greater context to John 13. Those of you who might remember when Jesus taught the disciples how to serve. He said, this is what I want you to do. Go and do likewise. And he took a basin of water, and he washed their feet to show them, this is how you live. You live by serving others. And so it gives a greater context because he just walked around that whole triclinium and washed their feet. All their feet were lined up. Also, in that same story, John 13, the disciple John, it says in verse 23, it says that John was reclining next to him, next to Jesus. And it says that after Jesus served them, after he washed their feet, he said, one of you is going to betray me. He was talking about Judas. And it says that in verse 25 that John leaned back on Jesus' chest and said, who is it? Asking, who's going to betray you? And that it gives a more understanding because John was sitting to the right of Jesus and they were all reclining. So where you sat at a dinner party, at a dinner table, was a matter of social status. You were actually seated based on your social rank. And so they were fighting over this social status. If we were to throw that pick back up there, that triclinium, you'll see that middle couch, the lectus medius, that was the head table. And that number two spot in the lectus medius was where the host sat. And to the left of him, that number three, that place was called the place of honor. That was where the most honored guest sat or reclined and ate dinner. So that's what these Pharisees, that's what these religious leaders were fighting over. They were jumping over people trying to get to that spot so that they could be in the place of honor. All right, let's go on. Verse 8. And this is, Jesus is telling a parable. And parables are told just to reveal some deep, timeless truth. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you're invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. All right, so Jesus is teaching all of us something about how do we earn honor? How do we gain honor? And he says, if you crave status, then you gotta crave service first. If you want to be first, you gotta start last. If you want to be exalted, you got to humble yourself. If you want to be in the spotlight, you got to start behind the scenes. If you want to get ahead, you got to put others ahead. If you want to be loved and liked by everybody, then you have to love and like everybody. If you want great friends, you got to be a great friend. It's kind of like this give and take. You'll see other themes in the Bible that talk about this. You're given after you start giving. Give and it will be given to you. Sow and then you will reap. Be pruned and then you will grow. It's incredible, the theme in the Bible. And so Jesus is kind of getting up in their face about this. He's kind of questioning their motives, their agenda. And I just wonder how many of us, including myself, how many hidden motives that we have. How many times that we're trying to do the right thing, or we're doing a great act, but really deep down it's a hidden, selfish agenda. Our motives aren't totally pure. And the main idea that Jesus is saying, and I kind of put it like this, is honor flows from humility. That honor flows from humility. Now, Jesus never said it was bad to have a good seat. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we think of humility as some weak-willed, unassertive, passive, soft-spoken person. Like some of you, you know, some people have painted paintings of Jesus like tiptoeing through the desert. Excuse me, got a lamb on his shoulder. Peace, I'm sorry. Love you. You know, I don't think I would paint Jesus that way. I don't really know what I would paint. But I also wouldn't paint him jumping over couches trying to get to spot number three. Trying to be the most important. Trying to tell everybody how awesome he is. So I always just kind of go back to Jesus. So what I was thinking and preparing for this message, I just started thinking about what Jesus has done for us. You know, Jesus, because I don't think that we're nothing. You know what I'm saying? The bottom line is, us Christ followers, the children of God, we're special people. I mean, that's just the bottom line. We're unique. We're gifted. We're talented. We're called. We're anointed. We're powerful. We're strong. God's given us some authority over this earth. And so we're not nothing, okay? We're something. And Jesus was something. He came to this earth. He was God's son. He did all these miracles. He was incredible. He was the most hated and the most liked person of all of human history. Yet he made himself nothing so that we could become something. He lowered himself. He took away his rights so that we could become something. And now we benefit from it. But yet we take on that same role. And we make ourselves nothing so that other people can become something. And we take that place of service. That is our mission. That is our role. When we wake up every day, the goal in life is not for our marriage to serve us. When we wake up every day, the goal in life is not for our kids to make us happy. The goal in life is not for our job to give us delight, although it can. All those things can. Our role, our job as Christ followers, as disciples, is to get up every day and think about who we can serve, who we can love, and then we'll be honored. And then we'll be honored. You know, we can be humble and still have confidence. We can be humble and still be a strong leader. You can be humble and still be a man, still love football. You can be humble and still be a cowboy, ride horses or whatever. Go deer hunting. We can be humble and still be confident. Jesus made himself nothing so that we could become something. And we receive that grace because of him, because of his act on the cross, that epic event that happened when he lowered himself and he allowed people to spit on him and scorn him and crucify him. And now we have the privilege of responsibility to give that grace back. So three thoughts about honor I just have. I just want to give them to you real quick. The first one is that we cannot honor ourselves. We cannot honor ourselves. Honor is given. We can only receive honor. We can't go around telling people how awesome we are, right? It reminds me of a man named Charlie Sheen. Now, I know that this is so a month and a half ago, all right? But I just can't resist. I mean, this guy loves to tell people how awesome he is. Check out some of these quotes he has. I am on a drug. It's called Charlie Sheen. It's not available because if you try it, you will die. I'm different. I have a different constitution. I have a different brain. I have a different heart. I got tiger blood, man. I'm not bipolar. I'm by winning. I win here and I win there. Check this one out. Resentments are the rocket fuel that lives in the tip of my saber. I'm grandiose because I live a grandiose life. I'm not all shucks because I'm gnarly. This guy loves to tell people how awesome he is. But we all know that when we tell people how awesome we are, or when we try to choose the place of honor in our lives, we try to get people to respect us, that as soon as we do that, we've lost. Husbands, as soon as you look your wife in the eye and say, "You respect me," you just lost. You just went down a whole other level. Okay? But the more we try to tell people, the more we try to promote ourselves, the more we try to get people to honor us on our own control, the more people don't honor us, the quicker people do not respect us. Proverbs 25:6-7, I put this in the Message translation because it puts it really cool. It says, don't work yourself into the spotlight. Don't push your way into the place of prominence. It's better to be promoted to a place of honor than face humiliation by being demoted. The more we self-promote, the more humiliated we become. The more we self-promote, the more humiliated we become. And so some of you are just kind of waiting to be honored. You're waiting to be promoted. I don't know who you are, but I know that some of you, you're just kind of, you feel overlooked, you feel passed over. Sometimes you just look up to God and you go, God, does anybody see me? Does anybody respect me? And it may be that you're that wife that does the dishes all the time and you feel like a doormat. Or it may be a husband or a man in this room that you just feel like you work so hard and you never really get affirmed for it and you never really get encouraged about it. Or you may be a leader in the church and you just feel like other people are just running around you, circles around you, and you're like, what about me? And I just want to let you know that the way that I see it through the scriptures, and that God does the promoting. It's God that promotes you. It's God that honors you. God's going to be the one that has your back. And so, I don't know about you, but for me, this idea digs up a few issues in me. The biggest one being my own self-sufficiency. I'm extremely independent. I like to be in control. Is anybody with me or am I the only one? Good. Make me feel better. All right, so that's hard for me. But when it comes down to it, who does the promoting in your life? Who's got your back? Who's taking care of you? It's God. Honor flows from humility. We cannot honor ourselves. Number two, when we honor ourselves, or when we try to honor ourselves, we are asked to step down. If we do go around telling people how awesome we are, fighting for the place of honor, choosing, trying to pick and choose how people see us, fighting for a place of social status, trying to impress other people, then we'll be asked to step down. Verse 11 says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. The more we try to promote ourselves, the more we have to try to tell people how great we are, there's humiliation coming around the corner. That's just a principle in the Word of God. is that when we have pride, we're going to be humbled. Around the corner, God will humble us. And we can start low and end high, or we can start high and end low. It's our choice. I've been trying to teach my son how to be unselfish, you know, and that's hard to do with a 2.5-year-old. But I've been trying. And so over the past year, I did a little project, and I wrote down actual commands. This is just for my own unique thing. I wrote down actual commands I have given my son. And here's a few of them. They're really funny. Mac, it's not cool to bite Daddy's head. No, you may not have popcorn for breakfast. Please do not pee-pee on Spider-Man. We aren't supposed to put money in our diaper, are we? If you headbutt Daddy again, I'm going to take your cars away. Stop stuffing toys down Daddy's pants. If you ram your choo-choo train into the wall again, I'm going to spank that butt. If you poo-poo in the potty, you get a candy cane. Yeah. Potty training just happened to fall around Christmas time. It was great. When we try to honor ourselves, we're asked to step down. This is how it would be. It would be like if you were invited to a wedding, and after the wedding, we all know that there's a wedding reception, and most of the time, wedding receptions have food, and it would be like if you were not in the family, you were not in the wedding party, you were really like one of the last people really invited, you know, not that you really knew that, but you were just kind of last on the list, and so all the wedding party and all the family, they're going first through the food line, but your belly is screaming. Screaming, you're so hungry, and you're eyeing that spinach dip, and you're eyeing those pork loin biscuit thingies, the barbecue sauce, and you're like, I gotta get me some of that. So you just go and you act like you're in the wedding party, and you're like, what's up? Is that a great wedding? Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, I'm hungry. And you just go, but then as you're in line, the groom comes up to you. He's already sitting down eating, and he has to get up, and he comes to you and he says, excuse me, who are you? Oh yeah, you were invited, I think. Could you go to the back of the line? We really wanted the family and the wedding party to get their food first so they can go to the head table. If you could, thank you. And so you scrape your pita chips back into the bowl, and you put your plate back, and red-faced, you walk to the back of the line, and the groomsmen and the wedding party, they're just stink-eyeing you. Like, how could you? You're horrible. Because when you try to honor yourself, you're asked to step down. You're humiliated. You're humbled. Proverbs 11:2. It says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride brings him low. There's several other scriptures that just talk about the pride. On April 10th, 1912, there's a ship called the Titanic that set sail for the very first time. It was leaving from Southampton, New England, to New York City. And there was 2,200 passengers on board. Now, at this time in history, the Titanic was talked about as an unsinkable, invincible ship. There was even a motto they had that said, even God could not sink this ship. The captain, E.J. Smith, was called the millionaire's captain because all the millionaires and the wealthy people, they only wanted this captain because he had charisma and he just knew how to handle them and treat them right. They trusted him. And so the Titanic was very expensive, especially where all the wealthy people were. There were some lower class, but a lot of wealthy people, uppity people, that only wanted E.J. Smith. Even God could not sink this ship. We know because of Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Winslet, and the wonderful Celine Dion, that the Titanic set sail but struck an iceberg. And 2 hours and 40 minutes later, the ship sank, and 1,500 people died. And as the ship was going down, it's recorded that the 8-piece band still played. They knew they were going down. They just kept playing. They played old hymns. And it goes down in history as a time, and you can go Google or get on YouTube and find some survivors' testimonies. And they say, at this time in history, it ended an era of overconfidence in the industrial world because what they thought was unsinkable sunk. And here's the thing. Even a big ship can be sunk. And as awesome as we think we are, or as much money as we have, or as great as we think that we can be, God can humble us. And so when we try to honor ourselves, we try to seek a place of status, we're going to be humbled. And I just want us to know that so that we're careful, so we're cautious about that. that if you have a great gift, or if you've made some money, or if you have charisma and a personality and people like you, or whatever blessings God has given you, we just have to understand, and just hear my heart for a second, that God is the source of that. Am I right or what? God is the source of that. Any ability, anything. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from Him above. So let's not think it's about us. Honor flows from humility. And then finally, number three, when we honor others, we're asked to step up. When we honor others, we are asked to step up. Verse 11, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Paul told the church at Rome in Romans 12:10, he said, honor one another above yourselves. See, Jesus doesn't mind us getting a good seat, or else he wouldn't tell us this parable, right? He doesn't mind us being honored, respected, sent to the head table. He just doesn't, he just wants us to be led there. He just doesn't want someone to come up and ask us to go sit at the kiddie table. You ever been there? Like you turn like 13 and like you're like, I'm a teenager. It's Thanksgiving. I'm sitting at the adult table. And you get your big plate of food. And you're like, Mom, grab me a sweet tea, you know? And you're like, Uncle Eddie, pass the salt. I'm a teenager. And he says, go sit at the kiddie table, youngin'. And you go over there to the $12 plastic fold-out table, different size, different colored chairs, little Johnny sitting on your right. You're like, how's, you ever watch Barney? You know, I mean, it would be like if you were at that same wedding reception, and you're like the best man, or part of the family, or part of the wedding party, and you're starving. You're so hungry. But you just don't know if there's enough food for everybody. You want to make sure everybody gets enough food. So you're like, I'm just going to go to the back. I'll wait, make sure everybody gets seconds before I get first. And you just work in the room. What's up? How you doing? Man, you look good. You lost weight. Give me a rock. Psh, yo, whatever. And so you just work in the room, and you just want to take care of everybody. But the groom sees that you're not eating. He wants you at the head table because he wants to have fun with you. It's his wedding. He wants to build memories with you. So he sends an usher your way. And the usher comes and says, hey, you know, what are you doing? Okay, the groom wants you to come to the head table because you're part of the wedding party and then your food's waiting on you. When we honor others, God will take care of us. When we put others ahead, God will make sure that we get ahead. When we promote other people, when we take into account other people's agenda, other people's desires, God takes care of us. So we, Christ followers, we just live in a world that's kind of upside down, don't we? It's just kind of crazy. Like some of you are here, and I know that you've never really received Jesus. Like you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. You're just checking this place out. And you're sitting here, and you're thinking, Jason, you're crazy. Jesus, you're crazy. What? If you want to get ahead, you just go for it, right? And you do whatever you can. You push people aside. You take what you can. That's how the world works. And everything that Jesus advocates in the Word is so upside down, but yet it's timeless truths. These are principles that work. And I don't know where you fit into this. We have so many different people represented in this room. But I know this, that if you want to be respected, if you're in that place where you want influence. You want people to look up to you. You want people to like you. You want to have friends. You want to be a great leader. You want to be a great boss. You want to be a great mom. You want to be a great dad. You want your kids to like you. Want to hang out with you. And you want to be an awesome husband or a virtuous, incredible wife. Then I know this. That we got to put others before us, serve other people. It's just kind of who we are as Christ followers. It's just who we are, and it's just what we do. So humility equals honor, pride equals humiliation, and if we want a place of status, if we want people to look up to us, then we have to take that place of service. We have to take a step back, and we got to go, I'm going to earn respect, I'm going to be honored because of how much I love people. How much I care about others. Let's bow our heads. I just want to pray for us. God doesn't mind you getting a good seat. He doesn't mind you having a platform. He doesn't mind you being influential. In fact, We are his representatives. The Bible says we're his ambassadors. We speak for him. We represent him. The Bible says that we're the aroma of Christ. We're the smell of hope to some people. We're a breath of fresh air for people. We give life to people. And so God wants us to have a platform. He wants us to be influential. He wants us to be honored. There are people that God exalts, that God honors. And I just want New Life. I just want us to have a culture and continue to have a reputation of men and women that put others first. That we don't fight over the place of honor. But we're honored and respected in the community as men and women, that our agenda is loving people and serving people and taking that position. Jesus made himself nothing so that we could become something, and somehow, by the grace of God, we gotta take on that role. So I just want you to think, you know, where do you fit into this? God may ask you to do something about it. He may ask you to change something about the way you live, or, you know, I mean, that's the Holy Spirit's job, to speak to you and to convict you of any sin, or to do that. I'm just going to give you a moment to do that. And also just, I want to speak to those that maybe you're here this morning. You might be giving church one more shot. You've never given God everything. You've never received the forgiveness of Jesus. You've heard about Jesus. You've maybe been in church before. You know about the cross, and for some reason, though, today, it just seems so real to you, and you feel as if almost God is knocking at the door of your heart, and you feel like that for whatever reason, that you have the belief in him right now, that you know that you can make a decision in your heart right now, and you would spend eternity in heaven, and you would have peace with God. And I just want to encourage you that the many, the hundreds in this room that have chosen Christ, we've all had this moment. It's a really cool moment. And this could be your moment. With everyone else praying and seeking God on their own, I'm just going to ask, if that's you, you want to see Jesus today, I want to ask you just to slip up your hand all across this room. If that's you, just between me, you, and God, just slip up your hand so I can see it. If that's you, you want to receive Jesus, I see you. I see you. Make sure I see you. Anybody else? I see you back there. Yeah. I see you, man. Anybody else? All right, let's all pray.